I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Orly Wabba. Orly is an educator, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and community activist, passionate about motivating people to make the world a kinder place. Orly began her career as a middle school educator, empowering children to see their power to influence the world for good. In 2011, Orly founded Life Vest Inside, a nonprofit organization with a mission to empower and unite the world with kindness. Life Vest Inside gained international acclaim when Orly's award-winning film, Kindness Boomerang, went viral. Orly has spoken at TED and has been featured on the Today Show. Orly's book, Kindness Boomerang, How to Save the World and Yourself Through 365 Daily Acts, hit the shelves on January 3rd. The book is a guide to incorporating kindness into your daily life. Orly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm super excited to be back.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you back on. I know you were a guest on episode 118, which is, I guess, about a year and a half ago.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. So it's great to have you back on. And I know you and I have had some chances to interact and see each other in between. I wondered if we could start off by talking a little bit about the book. So first of all, congratulations. It's quite a feat to have the book come out. What's behind it? Why did you write the book? And talk to us a little bit about what's in it.
So basically the book, Kindness Boomerang, it's named after the short film that you mentioned, Kindness Boomerang, that went viral right at the inception of the organization when I actually shot that film while I was a teacher still in school. And, you know, that film reached hundreds of millions of people worldwide. And now the book is giving people an opportunity to, you know, bring those acts of kindness into their daily life. The book itself empowers people to bring positivity into their daily life and the lives of those around them by giving them tangible steps to basically change their outlook on life. And it gives people a way to transform that pure inspiration into action. So in a sense, it's a lesson a day. So for every day of the year, there's an act of kindness, a quote, and a short story or reflection about that act. And throughout the book, there are 12 categories of kindness that repeat. So for every day of the year, you have like a 30 to 60 second read to just remind you that it's the simple things that matter and the simple things that we all can do that truly make a difference.
So what's a great example of one simple thing that we can do that'll make a difference?
So one simple thing. So I'm actually, you know, I have the book right next to me and I'm just going to open it up to any random, page here. So it says here, send a heartfelt, genuine note to your boss or mentor sharing some of the benefits you've gained from the job, not just professionally, but personally as well. And so that's a simple act of kindness that each and every one of us can do. And then right below that, there's a, you know, short, small quote and a reflection based on that specific act that helps bring it, you know, to the next level. So it's really things that are super tangible that we can do within our life. Some of the categories within the book include, you know, kindness with yourself and kindness behind the scenes in the home and relationships with nature, a common courtesy in the school, in the community, in the workplace, and so on and so forth.
And Orly, why have you found that kindness is so important?
So for me, it's a great question. Really, you know, talking about, you know, the work I do with the organization, and people always ask me the question of, you know, what's one word you would use to describe this organization? I always tell them the word I would use to describe this organization isn't in fact the word kindness. It's really the word empowerment. It's all about empowering people to recognize their value, that they matter, that they're significant, that they're unique. And that they bring something special to the table that nobody else can. That there's something unique and significant they can bring into this world that's not within anybody's reach. And when a person is empowered to understand that value, suddenly they become a giver, an additional giver in the world. You don't just have to give from your pocket. You give from within. And once you're empowered to recognize that and you see your value, it becomes easier to see the value in others. And so therefore your interactions with people change. You can't be kind outwards if you're not first feeling good about who you are on the inside. And so kindness is the greatest tool to empower. And that's exactly what it is. It's the tool to empower, because when someone's engaged in an act of kindness or in an act of giving, and if you think for a moment, because each and every person listening to this has done acts of kindness throughout their day right now, even without them realizing it, why does it make you feel so good? Why do you feel amazing? The reason is because within that moment of giving, what you're doing is you're catching a glimpse of your potential, of your value, of your real value. And you're being validated for the right reasons, as opposed to what society tells us should validate us, that we have to be at this point in our life. And when we're at this age, we have to be doing that. Or at this age, we have to be doing that. Or it depends on how much money you have in your bank, or how famous you are, how many followers you have. Those things don't truly give a person a real sense of value. It's a facade. The only thing that can really validate someone is themselves. It's through the small acts of kindness that we give to one another that truly, truly makes an impact. And you know, it makes me recall one of my favorite poems by Linda Ellis. I don't know if you know this poem, David, if you're familiar with this poem called The Dash. And it's absolutely spectacular. I have it, if there's time later on, I'll read it out loud, because it's really something spectacular. But the idea is, in the poem, it talks about reflecting on a person's life, person that has just passed away, and seeing the two dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. And the important thing was not the first date, was the beginning date of when they were born, or the end date of when they passed away. But the importance was the dash between those years and what they did with that time, the lives of the people that they've impacted. That's really what it's all about. We all want to have a purpose in this life. We all do. We all want to feel like we mattered. And what's important to understand is that we do matter, because if you're here, there's something that you brought into this world that nobody else did. You may not see that impact right away, just like the film Kindness Boomerang. So the film Kindness Boomerang basically follows an act of kindness down a street. And it starts with one man, construction worker, that sees a boy as he was on his way to work in a rush, and he had a choice. We all have choices every day. He had a choice whether to walk on by because he was late, or to stop for a moment and maybe help the kid up. And so he did. And that act led to something else, led to something else, led to something else. And at the end of that journey down that street block, the act of kindness ended up coming back to that construction worker with a glass of water being given to him. Now, little did he know that the one thing that he did sparked that entire ripple effect. He's not going to know it, but it did. And very often we can get trapped in our life of looking at and feeling like we're so far from where we want to be, from what we want to achieve, but we don't realize that it's the people that are closest to us, we're impacting them. Just by you being you, when you enter into a room, you impact change. And it doesn't require you to have any degrees or awards or applause. It just requires for you to actually be you.
And also to be you in relation to the person next to you, or the people who are around you.
Exactly.
What I'm also hearing from you, Orly, is that success is a very individualized, it's a very individualized journey, and metrics of success are also very individualized and very personal. And it's not so much about what people around us might perceive to be success for us, but it's really what we perceive for ourselves to be success.
100%. And it's really difficult to make the distinction between the two because of so much that's being thrown at us through, you know, just through society of what are, you know, what they label to be success. But the important thing is for us to actually create those metrics for ourselves. How are we going to measure our successful life? At the end of the day, you know, but the one thing in which I think everyone understands success to be, because people can measure their success by how much money they make, but at the end of their life, at the end of the day, those things, they don't come along with us. All that comes along with us is the impact we had on other people's lives. And I think that that's a really important thing to remember and to take hold of. Not that it's not important to have those other successes, whether it be professional successes or financial successes, but to remember what is really going to matter. What really will give you that sense of satisfaction? Because you could have somebody that has, let's say, in terms of financial success, all the money in the world, but they're not a happy person inside. They may appear to be, because that is the facade that so many people run by. It's this, it's just, especially in today's world of social media, it's all about the show, but what's beyond it, what's underneath it. Sometimes you find that the people that you look up to that you think are just, wow, I want to be that guy. How come I can't get there? Why is it look like everyone else is succeeding around me and I just can't make it? And you're thinking that all those people have it, but you don't, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Every person, even the most successful, has times in which they feel low about themselves, times in which they feel like they can't continue, times in which they feel like they haven't been a success. And anyone that tells you otherwise is just lying. Everyone will have those moments of self-doubt. It is so natural and it is so normal.
And I think that very much describes the emotions that one goes through at these moments of plateau.
Yeah.
Right? Where we look around us and we see what others seem to be achieving or seem to have achieved. And we look at what we dream to achieve and we look at where we are and it doesn't look good. And it's like, well, what do I do?
To be honest, I mean, I have gone through this. I've hit the plateau at so many points in my life where it was just, and honestly, I'm still sort of there right now. I have times of getting out of it and coming into it. And that's what it is. Life is not a video game. It's not like you beat the game and then you're done. And you throw it, okay, I beat all the levels. It doesn't work that way.
Only when you're at the end of the dash.
It's a constant, yeah, it's a constant, constant struggle. You constantly have to keep reminding yourself of that value and of what really makes a difference and what really matters. Because, you know, it's very difficult seeing people move up ahead of you and feel like, I started so far before them. And I have such a great thing that I'm doing. Why can't I seem to break through? Why can't I seem to smash this plateau? Why? And very often we end up going and we start spending a lot of time looking at what all these other people are doing. And we're watching them grow. And as we're watching, as we're on social media and on what watching them grow, you know what happens to us? We're feeling ourselves go lower and lower and lower, and to the point that we don't even think that it's possible to ever get out. And that's the worst thing that we can do, is looking. It's important to learn from the successes of others. But when you're in a place, you know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Back when I was a teacher in middle school, I'll never forget this. We were going to Washington for the class 8th grade graduation trip. And I had just hurt myself. I'm a big sports person. I fell playing basketball, injured my ankle, and I wasn't going to be able to go on the trip. I had crutches, and you have to be, it's a lot of work. You're crutching all around Washington. It's very, very exhausting. So I wasn't going to go. And the principal came up to me and said, Orly, do me a favor, come. The kids love you. And I love the kids. Teaching was my favorite thing in the world. And I said, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to go around. He goes, don't worry, you'll just be on the bus. You know, you'll hang out on the bus. Of course I went. And of course, I didn't stay on the bus. That's just not my speed. So I was crutching all around Washington with them. And finally, it was the end of the it was the end of the day. I was exhausted. I had bruises under my arms and trying to get around. And we came to the to the Lincoln Memorial there, and it has all these steps. So I come out of the bus, and the kids that are with me, they're like, Orly, you're not going to really go all the way up. I mean, you're on your crutches. It's tough, and you're exhausted. I said, you know what? I don't think I'll make it to the top, but you know, maybe I can take one step. So I took one step. I said, you know, maybe I can take one more step. So I took another. I was about, I would say maybe, you know, halfway up. It started pouring rain, pouring, seriously, just torrential raining. And the kids are like, Orly, just head back. What are you doing? And at that point I was exhausted. And I'm like, there's just no point of going all the way up. And at that point when I felt that way, instead of looking forward to the gap between where I am and where I want to be, I did something far more important. I stopped and looked back. I looked back to how far I've come. And it was that momentum that pushed me forward. And I did make it to the top. Very often we can look at the gap, and the gap itself makes us feel so intimidated, makes us feel so small, makes us feel so far away, that we literally crunch up into a ball, get into our bed, and go under the covers. And we don't want to get out. And nothing anyone can tell us will make us get out. Only person that can make you do anything is you. because we don't learn from other people. It's truth. I could share my experience, but fundamentally, human nature, we learn from our own experiences. We do. That's when we learn the most.
That's so true.
Yeah, and it's that voice in your head that's telling you you can't do it. It's because you continuously are looking at the gap. You're looking at how far other people have come. You're not measuring yourself by the proper measures for you. Not to say that you're not as great as anybody else, but everybody has different circumstances that we literally don't know of. And so instead, take a look back. Look back at the successes you've had. Maybe it's not the word success. Maybe it's not the way you would define success for yourself, but look back at the successes you've had. Look at them. That energy, that positive momentum will help propel you forward in a positive way. Because when you try and push forward using negativity, like, oh, everyone is doing so much better than me. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to just work until crazy late and I'm going to do it because I have to. You're working off of negative energy. The energy that you're putting in during those hours, that negative energy, you may have the same words on the paper that you were going to write before, but the feeling and the emotion in which someone reads it with will be very different because there's an energy in which you can't see. It can only be felt. It's at those moments that you have to actually stop and give a little bit to you. You have to. And I'm here, I'm saying these words, and I promise you, David, I'm saying them to myself because advice is just the words that we tell ourselves. It is. It's the advice I tell myself. I have to hear this right now. That's why we're having this conversation more than anything. I'm finding myself actually realizing things. But you can't work off of that negative energy. Negative energy is only going to always bring you more negative energy. It's making sure that you're working off of that positive and taking that step back to look, to see what you've done. Because the awards, the accomplishments, the accolades, all those things, the trophies, all those things, they tarnish. The things that don't tarnish in this world are the impact that we made. So without you recognizing it, you've made an impact. You, within your own little business or within your own little world, you make an impact. And all the people that you've impact others. And it becomes infinite. It becomes exponential. The problem is we don't always see it. So we don't always feel that good. And that's why it's important to remind ourselves to look back instead of look forward sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes much easier to see the gaps and see what we're not achieving as opposed to looking back and seeing what we have succeeded at, what we have achieved. And with that in mind, Orly, what motivated you to write a book?
My goodness. So it's funny. I happened to stumble on my eighth grade yearbook. Okay. Just a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at it, and in it, I wrote, how you give your predictions of what you want to be in the future. So I wrote that I wanted to be a basketball player and an author. So I was laughing when I read it. I still do play basketball, but I always love connecting with people and love connecting with people through words. I always had a dream of wanting to inspire people, whether it be through the written word or whether it be through film, which I did with Kindness Boomerang. And a few years ago, it was actually after TED. This sort of came about through TED. I spoke at TED. Someone reached out to me. They heard me speak. And they said, I want to meet you. So I met with her. And we had a conversation, and she was telling me about what she was doing at the time, something which she's still doing called Catalyst Creative down in downtown Vegas, part of Tony Hsieh's downtown project. And she said, I have a lot of speakers that come. Why don't you come? And so finally, we made it happen. I always get nervous before I speak. It's a constant thing. I always get super nervous. And went there, and I was nervous just as I always was. And after I spoke, someone approached me. He said, have you ever thought about writing a book? I said, yeah, I've thought about writing a book. And recently, prior to that, about 2 months prior to that, I started putting together maybe a children's book. I was putting down some ideas. I had it in my mind that I wanted to do it. I just didn't know where to start. And so he gave me his card, and I didn't know what to make of it. And I took it, and I called him when I got back to New York, and we met. And we were talking about a few different ideas, and they offered me a book deal through Flatiron, through Macmillan. And I was so beyond excited. And I honestly didn't know how in the world I was actually going to do it. In the beginning, I thought it was going to be easy. Okay. Actually, in the very beginning, I was like, all right, I'll take off a month. I'll write this book and we're good to go. I had absolutely no idea what it was to write a book.
And how long ago was that?
So the deal, we signed the book deal. I have to try and remember. We're now in 2017. We signed the book deal. Must have been in 2014, September of 2014. Okay, listen to this, David. It's crazy. September 2014, we signed the book deal. I told them I wasn't gonna be able to work on it until a few months after because I was had my events. I was running my organization. I didn't know how I was gonna make time. And of course, things got pushed off. And I hate missing deadlines. I'm like I really don't like missing deadlines, but I had to. And then finally, the final date, they're like, okay, we need this book no later than January. This was January of 2016. So exactly a year ago, the end of January was the deadline for me to get the book in. And come end of December last year, and I realized, oh my goodness, I haven't started this book yet. This is a problem. And I was so nervous because we very much we procrastinate and we try and figure out how we can or what we can. And I made myself like a schedule. And the thing that really got me through is I had an accountability partner, one of our kindness ambassadors from the organization. Every single day, I would meet with him for 1 hour every day in the middle of the day. I would write before I met with him and right after I met with him. And I would review things during that hour period. But the reason I loved it is because it held me accountable to getting the work done. Because I knew that this book was not just a reflection. This book was not just about me. And it's not just about me. Because no book, and I wrote this in my acknowledgments, no book, no accomplishment really is something that is done or achieved by one sole person. It's always about, it's not a one-person journey. It's those that help you along that journey. And I knew that I was writing this not just for myself, but for the entire community of kindness ambassadors and people within the organization, outside of the organization, who believe wholeheartedly in this mission of kindness. And I knew this was for them. And so I committed myself to it and got myself into that groove. And I really, what I found was, and it was fantastic. It was really a phenomenal, month-long journey. It really helped me to reconnect to a lot of my past as well. And also work through a lot of the things that were holding me back because it was a time of extreme reflection, of extreme introspection. But it was amazing to see it come about. And then from when I handed it in, obviously throughout the course of the year, the edits and so on and so forth, it's been quite a journey. It was tough. It was not what I necessarily expected in the beginning, but it was an amazing experience. And then to see it in my hands, I don't even know how to describe the feeling. Actually, I've not given myself a chance. So one person took the book when I was giving, they're like, Orly, I'm going to throw this book at you. Don't you realize you just wrote a book? Because it's always about, I fall into this trap also. It's always about continuing to push forward. Okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that you have to do? What's the next thing I have to accomplish?
It's the plateau syndrome.
Exactly. And this happened to me. And I'm telling you, a friend of mine just last week said, Orly, I'm going to throw this in your face. You have to be able, you have to take the time to celebrate your accomplishments because then what are you doing? Then you're constantly running, but you're not realizing that, you're not allowing yourself to celebrate so that you can move forward in a positive way. Because if you don't stop, you don't see other opportunities that are there surrounding you. Because you're so focused, you're so engorged in things that you don't actually see things that are happening around you. And it's within those silences, within those pauses, within those stops, because the plateau is important, by the way. It's so important. It's so important. If you didn't have it, you would run out of fuel and you would just pass out. You need the plateau. You need the plateau to catch your breath. You need the plateau to look and say to yourself, am I... where did I want to be? Have I veered off of the person I wanted to be? Not of the accomplishments I wanted to have, but am I still true to who I said I am? Am I still, as I'm accomplishing these goals and accomplishing these successes, am I still being true to who I am? That's why you need the plateau. That's why you need those pauses and those stops and starts. Otherwise, you can lose yourself. And then what's the point?
Exactly, exactly. Orly, what can the readers of the book expect to gain as a result of reading the book?
I think that for everyone, it will be something different. I think that there'll be a lot of reflection. Like I said, a lot of introspection. You expect to feel a lot of hope. you know, receiving innovative thoughts that may not have come to you before. But I think that, and my hope with this book, and this is where I feel like the most, is that it will empower you as a reader to see that there's so much within you, that there's so much that you've already done, there's so much good that you've already put out, and it will give you the small steps, because that's what it is. It's about taking small steps. When you try and tackle a huge, giant goal and you don't accomplish it at first, you may give up. But the purpose of this book, and that's why it's called Through 365 Daily Acts, is because change doesn't happen overnight. I know that in this fast-paced world, we're used to things happening with a flick of a button or with a pressing something, instant gratification. But guess what? Instant gratification, just as something can be instantly one way, it can be instantly the other. The things that really matter, the things that are going to make you proud when you look back at your life, when you think about that dash between your ears, those things are the small things that you've cultivated over the years, the small steps that you take. And I think that that's where this book can come in super handy.
That's great. Orly, what are some examples of someone you know personally who's been successful at smashing plateaus?
So someone recently, I tell you, I mean, I've known him now for the past year and change. And I just reconnected with him last week. He's also in the same space as I'm in terms of bringing positivity out into the world and, you know, getting out of her comfort zone and bringing human connection. His name is Mayor K. That's how he calls himself, Mayor Kalmanson. He also does a lot of inspirational videos and things of that nature. And I've seen him from last year till now, I've seen him grow in such a tremendous way. I spoke to him last week and I told him, I said, I'm so happy to see you just, like you're saying, smashing the plateau. It's been really awesome to see him grow. And, you know, he had his, you know, periods of lows and then shooting up again. And I'm excited to see where he's going to go and potentially collaborate with him, because I'm a big believer that collaboration is a huge key to success.
It certainly is. So speaking of keys to success, Orly, what's next for you?
Wow. Well, right now the book is a big focus of mine. I want to be able to get this book into the hands of people around the world, into schools, where I think it could be so instrumental in a really amazing way. My goal is to be able to get out there and also speak. I've been speaking, but I want to be speaking even more so, and connecting with people of, you know, I've been connecting with people of all ages, but been getting out there and being able to, you know, make presentations and help people see and be able to take hold of the ways in which they can make their life and their world, you know, better with the simple things. And of course, the organization, I'm working very much nonstop on Life Fest Inside and helping it to grow. One of the newest things that I've taken on and I'm really excited about is Kindness USA. I've recently been appointed as the CEO of Kindness USA, which basically, this is really interesting. I'll just give you a little bit of it, but you can always find out more online. There's a company called DreamStore.me, and the idea behind DreamStore.me is giving people the ability to take a huge dream, a world-changing dream, and make it become a reality. One of their branches is Kindness USA, and what they've done is they basically measured the level of kindness within the U.S. back in 2015. What they found is that while there is a huge gap, talking about gap, that 25% of people perceive themselves within the U.S., of adults within the U.S., perceive themselves to be living in a kind society. That's roughly 50 million adults, whereas 75% of people perceive themselves to be living in an unkind society. That's roughly 150 million Americans. The goal behind Kindness USA is to bridge the gap between the two and to increase kindness perception within the U.S. from this year through the year 2027, that by the year 2027, there should be an increase to 80% of kindness perception within the U.S. It's really a tremendous feat, tremendous undertaking. I believe in it strongly. And I mean, there's a lot of details to it, but it's very innovative and super new, and it's completely transforming how we look at capital and how it can be utilized to truly impact a society in a very tangible way.
Well, congratulations. This is really exciting.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going to go.
Well, stay tuned. So how can listeners follow you, learn more about you, etc.?
So the best way is to, you can connect with Life Vest Inside on our website, lifevestinside.com. You can also check out the book website, which is kindnessboomerang.com. You can also follow us on, we're Life Vest Inside on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. YouTube is a really great outlet because we do a lot with film. And in addition, like I said, you can check out dreamstore.me for more information about Kindness USA, but you'll find me in all those areas. We do have a daily newsletter called The Daily Kind, which I strongly recommend every day of the week, Monday through Friday during the work week. It's a short 30-second read to kickstart your day with kindness every day with an act of kindness, a reflection, a quote, and a short kindness media to help you see more kindness within the world. So you could sign up for that at lifevestinside.com as well.
That's great. Well, Aurelie, thank you so much for coming back again on Smashing the Plateau. It's been great to have you back and talk about what's new with you since the last time you were on. Congratulations on the book coming out, and congratulations on becoming the CEO of Kindness USA.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys get a copy of the book. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Target, and IndieBound, and iTunes. So feel free to get out and get a copy.
All the usual places.
Yep.
My guest today has been Aurelie Waba, founder and CEO of Life Vest Inside. Thank you again, Aurelie, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.